Yeah, absolutely. And we should point out that the governor really, took kind of a beating on the national public affairs shows over the weekend that called him out on his handling of the Flint water crisis. And so we even saw the administration responding by over the weekend by tweeting pictures of the Emergency Operations Center in action, that announcement that Flint fire stations are going to become distribution centers for water filters and testing kits, and state troopers and other government employees are going to start this week going door to door to, check on families, find out if they've got filters, if they're installed correctly, if they need any other kinds of services to deal with the lead
And
crisis.
what you're hearing folks saying is that's all well and good, but isn't this what should have happened, 6 months
Yeah.
ago,
Or
9 months ago in the
exactly.
spring, or even, more concerned when GM, announced that it was going to stop using Flint water because of the corrosion, then
Yeah.
people going, well, wouldn't that have made sense then to check right then?
Opening the emergency response center, which usually happens in the aftermath of a weather disaster, a tornado, something like that, so many months after, it was acknowledged that this was a crisis, just had sort of a weird vibe to it.
And Zoe, we heard Mayor Weaver say last week it could take
Yeah.
$1.5 billion to fix that water infrastructure that's been corroded and ruined by that water from the Flint River. Flint doesn't have that money, that's for sure. Does the state?
Well, right. And the question is there the political will, right? I mean, the state has billions of dollars. It's the priorities and it's the decisions, what you do with it. But as we've seen as political reporters, it took 4 years to get less than $1 billion to fix roads, which was the thing that is going to benefit people statewide. That over and over again in polling, voters saying fix the roads. That took 4 years. So sure, does the state have $1 billion? Absolutely. It's the political will, and it is the Republican-led legislature that holds the purse strings.
We should point out that this $1.5 billion number is the high end
Yes.
of a range of estimates. We don't know how much it's going to cost, and we really don't know for certain what a remedial plan, a long-term remedial plan, might look like. Now, it is interesting that, last year the governor released a special message and water infrastructure was a big part of it, but any action on that was delayed because just the road funding talks just dragged on and on and on and on, through the ballot disaster in May and then into, almost up to the end of the year.
Right.
And so next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, when the governor delivers his State of the State address, it's pretty much unimaginable that he won't somehow bring up the Flint water situation. The question is, will he also use it as an opportunity to put water infrastructure front and center in the on the state's agenda?
Just in the past year, the governor has also asked for some $715 million for the financially struggling Detroit public schools. So, right there, you're then asking again a Republican majority lawmakers to then put what, close to $2 billion into the cities of Flint and Detroit. That is going to be a hard sell.
I'm talking with our It's Just Politics team of Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark, and I want to talk some with you now about the way this governor communicates. Now that the national media has picked up on the Flint water crisis, a lot of people across the country are hearing from Rick Snyder. And here's an example. At last Thursday's press conference with Flint Mayor Karen Weaver, the governor was asked point blank, what did you know and when did you know it? And here was his answer.
Well, again, we're going through that whole process. That was the point of appointing an independent group to go through the whole timeline of events. They're going to come out with a report, and I look forward to the report. And as I previously said, as they've come out with items they put in their report, we've been very prompt about taking actions in response to what their findings were.
You're not answering my question. What
Well,
did
I
you
answered
know
your
and
question.
when did you know it today?
So again, we're going to do this in a comprehensive fashion, not a piecemeal fashion, and I'm going to let independent people, they're doing fine work, follow through with their work.
Okay, it just seems so passionless. I'm thinking if I'm a Flint parent and I'm afraid my child's been poisoned by lead, the whole tone of that answer and the lack of a real direct answer to a direct question, I don't know, would leave me pretty unsatisfied.
Well, the governor's response to this has been described as being Mr. Spock-like. politicians, public figures that they you know bring their own personal characteristics to the job of governing. And, you know, some of the things that you know, we've seen are, you know, certainly competence, drive, but also empathy. You know, harken back to Bill Clinton famously saying, "I feel your pain." Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard anything like that from Rick Snyder, at least in part because empathy is not... He is not an empathy governor, although for him, this presents a particular challenge because Rick Snyder's core competence has been competence. Mm-hmm. And what's going on in Flint strikes directly at that.
Right. And the other issue going back to this empathy card is, I mean, people are already starting to, and Rick and I were talking about this too, you know, I mean, think back to the Jennifer Granholm days and something happened like this. Can't you see Granholm in some jeans and some boots, you know,
handing out
she
water?
She would be at one of those, distribution centers handing out filters.
Exactly.
And
she would be at the schools. She would be, you know, I mean, and so this is this empathy that I think Rick is absolutely right, that it's not so much even just the way that he talks about it, but just some of the actions and comparing
or lack
it
of.
To right
yeah
and comparing it although, to how other folks may handle it.
Although I mean, we should point out that it may not be physically safe for Governor Snyder to hold an open public event in Flint right now, just because people are so angry.
But I think, you know, that anger is fueled by that bloodless kind of response that we heard.
Well,
that,
and the email that came out from, you know, Dennis Muchmore, who was then the governor's chief of staff, saying, look, these folks in Flint feel like we are not paying attention to them.
Blowing them
exactly.
Off.
That was the quote, blowing them off. And that was months and months ago.
Well, let me ask you this. This is an election year. There's 110 races for House seats and, of course, the presidential election.
Yep.
Do you two think that the way, what we're talking about, that the way this Snyder administration, Reid Republican, poo-pooed those clear and loud alarms early on over Flint water and then slow walk steps that could correct it. Could you see that impact in the GOP politically in this
Absolutely.
In
Look, the Flint water crisis is already a campaign issue, and not just in the political races here in Michigan, that it's being brought up by presidential candidates who are being asked about it. And it has become nationally a representation of the failure of government.
And I will
there's no way that this will not be a political issue.
I will take that two steps forward, which is because, as you know, we like to do in politics, looking, you know, way, way forward to 2018 and the race for governor. And someone who is, you know, mulling that decision is the congressman who represents Flint, Dan Kildee, who is really working with the federal government to try to get some federal dollars into Flint right now. So that's another thing to keep an eye on come already, you know, 2018. Mm-hmm.
Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team of Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
You bet.